All right, we are here. We're Galexis and welcome. Welcome to Magical Money Manifestation Part 3, Calling Resources into Manifestation, into Materialization. This segment, this part, is where the tire hits the road. This is where things materialize. This is about precipitating all that you are imagining, dreaming, creating into an actual physical manifestation. Now, we've given you a lot of background. We've given you a lot of assistance in the first and the second part, as well as other seminars that have helped you sustain parts of that. In other words, we've given you resources to help your manifestation skills. We did Manifestation Made Easy, and with that seminar came a list of 16 points. It's a checklist to make sure you get all this for manifestation. And we have talked to you about your true motivation so that you don't burn out in your achievements and dreams. To be able to expand your self-image, that may be the most important one. Partnering with your spiritual team, which is allowing the universe to support you. And also working with your future self, bringing that future here and now. Enabling you to get on your track, getting on your spiritual track, on your maybe your track of purpose, your destiny track. All right. So this seminar, we're going to do more work with activating and connecting your connection with the egregor, with the collective, with money. We're going to start getting that give and take, that connection, that energy into materialization so that what you wish can translate into the material. Now, what we want to say from the get-go today is that we're going to do some processes. So we suggest that you choose one of your channels. You may only have one, but last time we looked at channels and what kind of channels to bring money through. And so we suggest that you select one channel out of all the channels. Now, the channel to work with today would be one that already has started to give you some money. It has started to give you energy. It's not like something you're just going to have to start from total scratch to create, or it's not some kind of passive investment waiting for some kind of super change in the market in order to be valuable for you. Something that where you already have some interaction with your world, somewhere maybe it's your work, maybe you can get an extra bonus, or maybe you have clients and you want to increase the number of clients. Something where there's already a little bit of action, if not already a good amount of action. So select a channel and focus on that one today. And now if you have other channels you want to work on, and we recommend that you do, we recommend that you, since you're going to get the download of this seminar to work with, we suggest that you just take each channel and just go through this seminar again with each individual channel. So don't try to manifest all of them at once, okay? Just select one. Now, the essence of all manifestation is for you to take your desires, what you desire, and allow your reality to give it to you. Basically, everything that you want to manifest in your life comes from outside of you to you. If you want anything material, that is. Anything spiritual, you can find it within. But this particular series, we're working on money, which is an external thing. As you know from having worked already, in 1 and 2 with the egregor and with money. It is all your success, all of it comes from outside of you. So this connection into your world is significant. Now, the essence of getting the physical manifestation to happen, you do want to have all the parts of manifestation in general. Some of these parts, and we show you the list that you get in the Manifestation Made Easy again, these 16 points that are on the list are all parts of and pieces of the light chaos. They're pieces. You put them together the way it works for you. All right? And so there's kind of a basic way of looking at this. There's like three important pieces that, even though all of these pieces are really huge, they all kind of gather into three groups. And if you can work with these three aspects, these three groups, it's a triad, a triangle, a trinity, you might say, of manifestation and materialization. If you can keep this in mind, it will keep you from getting confused. It will keep you from getting distracted and lost in detail. It can keep you, in a sense, on track, because if you can think of three things, generally most people can keep three things in mind. And if you can keep these in mind, you can refer to them and you can get your orientation, know where you are in your process, and basically figure out what's going on and what you need to do about it. Okay? And the first one is resonance. It's your self-image. It is the energy field that you build up, the quality and the expansion of your light, of your capacity to love, of your capacity to express and feel and be. This is the being part of it. This is the frequencies, the vibes, the resonance of you. And it's the most important piece, because you, as we have said many times, you are your spiritual path. For you to get to your highest level of resonance means that you step into the ownership of yourself as the divine being that you are. So the divinity is where you're heading when you expand your self-image. And by expanding your self-image, we're referring to loving and valuing yourself, honoring and respecting yourself, allowing yourself to be of value intrinsically, essentially. You don't have to earn value and worth from other people. You are already inherently worthy as a divine being, having a physical experience, a spiritual being here, choosing to be here, to do this kind of work, to create tracks, to deal with themes, to work not only for yourself and with the collective as well. So, as we pointed out in the first seminar of this series, you have made it to a place in your evolution where you're lifting beyond the collective, as far as your perspective, as far as your light, as far as who you are. You're leading the collective now. You are the cutting edge. You are the future. And a lot of times when people are the future, they're not recognized. They're not seen. So you have to, if you want materialization, you have to do the second part. The second part is about connecting and engaging with your world. You are here, you belong here on planet Earth, even if you feel your identity belongs on some other planet or some other dimension, which it does in a way. But right now, you've chosen to be physical, you've chosen to be here, and this world, whether you like it or not, is part of your creation. It's created specifically, magically, wonderfully for you. All right? So you want to have an engagement with it. You want to interact with it. You don't want to stand off separate from it. You don't want to run and hide from it. You want to get in it and engage with it. You want to release any kind of judgments that you have with it. You want to release any kind of fears you have about it. A lot of people fear so much negativity. They're afraid they're going to be trapped. They're afraid that the people out there are going to hurt them, and so on. There is so much resistance, especially for spiritual people, with the collective, with the egregor, and therefore also with money, because there is that sense of a gap between your consciousness and the consciousness of the rest of the people that are around. It's easy to stand in judgment of them. It's easy to get in spiritual ego and be better than. But you have to learn how not to do that, but instead engage with love and kindness. And learn how to give and learn how to receive from the collective. That's the second point. It's very important to stay connected, to stay here. Don't wander off into the other dimensions and expect that you're going to get good materializations. It's just not going to be there. All right? So you want to have a way of really physically connecting. And through that physical connection will come the physical openings and the physical responses, which are the materializations. So that's the second piece, okay? So first, your image, your resonance, your frequencies, okay? The second one, having to do with your connection and interaction, giving and receiving, and being able to work with the energies of the collective. The number three is having to deal with the illusion of time. You chose time. You chose to be here in time. And there are reasons for that. You chose to manifest. Things are not going to manifest instantly as much as, you know, you have these TV shows or movies in which witches can go like this with their wand, or maybe Hogwarts students can go, da-da, and things just instantly change. No, that's not really what you came to do, and you don't want that. You don't want instant manifestation. No, you came to learn how to craft it, how to build it, how to do it as a divine creator being. So you need time, because if you had instant manifestations for whatever it is that you wanted, it would be devastating. What if you come to an intersection and your mind says, oh, a crash, a car crash. And instantly, bang, you get beat up. You get into a car crash, right? You don't want your mind to just immediately bring stuff in that you think. You have some thoughts. You do not want those to manifest. So you give yourself time so that you can work out stuff, so that if you make mistakes, you have time to remedy those mistakes. So don't resent time. Don't get impatient. Don't get into time scarcity. That there's never enough time. I'm running out of time. I got to have some money now. Anytime you get into urgency, even if it looks like your financial situation is dire, if you get into that urgency energy, if you get into the scarcity fears, you're sabotaging yourself. What realities are the fears going to create? You want something different from what is? Then interpret what is differently. You need to have a sense of that vision of where you want to go so that you are moving in the correct direction and you work it piece by piece until your mind and your body and your heart all agree. And when that happens, kabang, you get full manifestations. Not all at once, but it comes in a delicious way. It comes in through magic. Now, magic is unseen. You don't get to see it. It happens out of sight. There's no way you can control it, no way you can push it, no way you can make it happen. The only thing that can happen with magic, and the way you're going to manifest all of this, is that you hold your resonance, you connect with your reality, and you get out of time scarcity and really allow yourself to get into the organic space of time. Time is circular. It has rhythms. It has cycles, okay? Like you have your daily circadian rhythm. Your body needs that rhythm to function correctly. You know, so that's just one rhythm. If you get impatient with time and you try to push, you try to rush your slave driver, your inner slave driver, and we've talked about that a lot as well, your inner slave driver, your fake motivation, will scare you. Oh, you're behind, hurry up. You got to do it. You got to make time. You got to get it. You got to eat up time and get a lot done in less time. If you're in, we talked last time about speculation and gambling fever. All of that has to do with time urgency. There's like, Yeah. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen really big. Oh, I'm so excited. And there's a scarcity on it. And when things don't happen immediately, you don't know what to do. Your reactions can be just totally out of sync. So gambling fever is like one of those time scarcity things. Anytime you have time scarcity, anytime you're in a rush, anytime you feel behind, anytime you're impatient, just even impatient in your life is time scarcity. Okay, I want to be there now, and I have this resistance. I have to do this first. Oh, damn it. Impatience. Right? Anytime you're impatient, that means you're actually sabotaging the flow of time. When magic works, when you're allowing magic in, when you are okay with time, magic will come in the correct time. It will all will work according to plan. You may not always know the details of the plan, but it's your spiritual plan, your divine plan. Your higher self knows it. Your team, your spiritual team knows it. Everything unfolds accordingly. You know, and when that happens, you're in a flow. You know when flow happens. You know when magic happens. That just these synchronicities that happen, that's, oh, it's exciting. It's wonderful. It's refreshing. It's enlivening. You feel light. You feel free. You feel delighted. Magic is wonderful. That if you have time scarcity consciousness, you will have financial scarcity consciousness. You will have scarcity consciousness in general. You don't want to have scarcity consciousness. If you want to have prosperity and abundance, you've got to have abundance consciousness, which means you've got to assume you have all the time you need. There'll be all the time you want. There are some dear ones who've said, oh, but I've got to get this done before I die. Well, yeah, if you intend to get it done, you will get it done before you die. It's going to be arranged that way. If it's a slave driver, though, saying, you must achieve this great thing or else your life is a failure, you're in scarcity because then you're going to push and drive and push yourself and motivate yourself erroneously. So that's why we're saying it's important to have the right motivation. And when you're in true motivation in your heart space, your frequency expands. Your communication with your reality is much improved. And you're relaxed about time, and so things flow. If you find yourself in blocks and resistances, laugh. Don't despair. Laugh. Because it's basically saying, we're stopping the magic right now because You need to be aware that you're in time scarcity or some kind of scarcity right now. So we're going to pause the magic and let you figure that out. It's like when the channel and Daniel are out on the road and they don't have to get anywhere. There's no urgency to get there. They're coming back from an appointment or something, and the traffic is totally jammed up. And no matter what lane they get into, the freeway gets to a complete stop. Then they have to stop, start laughing. Well, I guess we're not in any hurry to get anywhere, are we? So let's just kick back, relax. Then it opens up, right? So just be aware of these three things. Your resonance, your relationship and engagement with the collective, with the world, with your reality. Physically. And three, your relationship to time. With that, let us begin working specifically now on the manifestation. Now, time also has this idea of cause and effect. And we want to point out that cause and effect isn't in this work that you'd be doing to create and to manifest and materialize money is a huge part of your life's purpose, really. Your life purpose is about being creators and manifestors, right? So, but you've been given this whole idea that you must improve yourself, you must work hard. You know, look at what success supposedly comes from in your collective. In the marketplace, oh, he worked so hard and he made good choices. He worked hard. That word always, those words keep coming up. He worked so hard. Now, magic isn't about working hard. But it does require focus. It requires time. It requires a certain intimacy with your process. It requires repetition because you're learning something new and greater than what has been before. And so doing this work can take time. It can be a lot of work, not hard work. For some people, working your imagination is hard because you've never practiced much. Your reality, your culture doesn't really encourage you to imagine much more than what bad things could possibly happen. And let me try to prepare right now. So your imagination can be stunted, and that can be tough. It can be hard. It can take brain work. You may have to really work with your brain, and it could tire out your brain just imagining good things. That can be a lot of work, but it needs to be done. You need to do that work. But we want to point out a couple of things here. Is that all the work that you're doing is not to make money. This cause and effect thing is you think, okay, if I work hard, the effect will be success. But think of all the people out there in the world who work really, really hard and never make it. They've bought into an idea that the successful people say, oh, it's due because I worked so hard. That's what they may believe. That's what the collective says. But what about all the other people who work hard? Why aren't they there? Right? So it's not a cause and effect relationship. How hard you work or how much you work does not determine how the quality or the quantity of what you manifest. So get rid of that idea. You do the work so that you can be in the resonance. You do the work so that you can be a greater spiritual being, that you can expand to greater levels of consciousness. And in that level of consciousness, you give and you receive, and you allow magic. You don't earn a thing. you receive. You give, you receive your manifestations. Now, your ego would really like to lay claim, okay, I worked so hard. I did my meditations. I was diligent. So that's why I'm manifesting all this money. So the ego would like that. But then the ego will always also sabotage you. If you work really, really hard and then it doesn't happen and then you are really, really pissed, the ego likes that because the ego feeds on your anger, resentment, or bitterness. Don't go there. Recognize what you're doing. Your aim here is to expand your self-image and become more the divine you. Engage with your reality, give and receive. And enjoy the flow of magic in time. You have the time to create. Right? So also this is also people utilize their manifestations, what they see out there in the world, as telling them as to whether they're successful or not. Your success is determined by your resonance, by your joy, by your love, by giving and receiving, by the magic that you can create. It's not measured by money. So if you don't see money happening, then it just means that somehow or another you're not having enough joy. Perhaps you're not bright enough resonance. You need to expand your self-image some more. But you're not doing that to make the money. You're doing that so that you can live a fabulous life. Your success, the manifestation that you want, is not money. It is the essential qualities of that prosperous identity. And the qualities of that prosperous identity is feeling free and light and enjoying yourself, more love, more happiness. That's what you're after. The money is a symptom. The money, what do they say? Do what you love, the money will follow. You're setting a resonance in the law of attraction. Says if you set this resonance high enough, your reality will rise to meet it. If your image is huge, your reality can be bigger and bigger and bigger. If your image shrinks, it'll collapse the physical reality as well. It has to shrink back down too. Your self-image determines how much success you have. It's not using money as the measuring stick. The measuring stick is love and joy and luminosity and being more and more the divine you. Now, you can take money workshops. There's plenty of money workshops out there that will focus on various techniques, and they will even do positive thinking, and they will do, vision boards and things. You might have already done all of that. But they don't generally teach you how to deal with time. They don't always teach you how to engage with the collective, how to make that and sink into place that connection to the physical plane. And as spiritual beings, every time that it's easy for you to get disconnected from the collective, to get disconnected from the whole culture. And that's why we bring in the egregor. It's like the personification of this whole human culture, of the mainstream, of the consensus reality, of your world at the state that it is, with all the conscious people, the middle consciousness people, the unconscious people, all put together. This is the egregor. It's an archetypal energy of the collective. But if you have a personified
or Gregor, the personified collective, you can engage with it archetypally. This can lead to greater and greater engagement physically. All right. So we, as we said, we put out 16 pieces of Manifestation Made Easy. And if you'll notice, we're just going to go down the list. You'll notice that these pieces, and they're not necessarily in the order in which you will do it, because you'll go back and forth with it. Time is organic. Time flows in all sorts of different ways. It flows up and down and all around. And so so these are just the pieces you put together, a collection. And if you listen as we speak them, we just go down the list of 16, notice that some of them have to do with your resonance, your frequency. Some of them have to do with your world. Some of them have to do with both. Some of them have to do with time. Right? But these are pieces. And we go into greater depth in the seminar Manifestation Made Easy. So we'd recommend that if you want to get into more clarity about these pieces. 1, self-image. 2, desire, motivation, getting it correct. 3, imagining, feelings and thoughts, function as well as form. Form is the 4th one. What forms to use to bring money to you. 5, function, what you're really after. 6, positive boundaries. Know what your boundaries are, how you make choices and how you make decisions and according to what principles. 7, ego, dealing with your ego and the significance and importance and charge that you might put on money, if you put excessive charge on money or not. Choice and will. Are you determined, intentioned, fear, or power choices? 9, letting go of the past, the mind talk, the facades, the negative patterns, the interferences, the limiting beliefs, the knee-jerk automatic response, payoffs, fear of change, etc., etc., etc. Some people spend, years there. You don't need to, but you have to acknowledge that part. Connect with your team. Receive. Take action. Do things. Activate things physically. Expect and trust. Keep upgrading your resonance over and over and over without trying to control or rush. See the big picture. Get your orientation from the larger perspective and function from there, and practice gratitude regardless of what manifestation you see in your physical world. Okay. Those are pieces, and they're all good pieces. But we know that if you want to know more about those pieces, then we have the material for you. But what we want to focus on are the pieces that seem to be the weakest for most people, or the ones that they need the reminder of most. And one of these pieces has to do with trust. We've talked about the foundation of your new reality is love. Love and is one of them, and empowerment is another. Trust, though, is often the trickiest one. Trust. Do you trust that the universe is going to take care of you? Okay. You trust that what you want is going to be there for you? You trust that everything will come to you in the correct time? Do you trust that you can receive? Do you trust that you can perceive the right people to trust and work with? Can you trust yourself? Can you trust your reality? Can you trust your spiritual team, your guides, your higher self? Can you trust? All right, well, a lot of people have difficulty with this one. And that's because a lot of people have played a kind of drama game called The Bottom Line. Now, the bottom line, financially speaking, is the line that is the bottom of where you have gone. You don't go beneath this bottom line. The bottom line is the bottom. Now, if you look at the whole society, you'll see that the bottom line financially for some people is to have zero money to be living on the streets. Now, you're spiritual people. You have a consciousness path. You did not come and go through all these lifetimes and do all of this work to come here just to be homeless and live on the streets. That's not in your reality. So your bottom line is not there. Your bottom line is that somehow or another, you get, the bottom line we see for most people is you get just enough money to make it. That's the bottom line for a lot of people. If you're scraping by, your bottom line is, I just manage to get my rent paid or whatever. I just manage to get enough for food this week. I just manage. I just somehow or another, by hook or by crook, somehow or another, it comes in and I'm able to do it. I'm not kicked out onto the street. Somehow or another, I'm doing it. Now, a lot of people play drama on that bottom line. But most of you don't have a bottom line anywhere near that at this point. Maybe you played with that in your 20s or when you were really very young and you were had to start out at the bottom of the economic ladder. Yeah, maybe, you know, and people who are young people now in the gig economy are having to experience pushing themselves, working long, long hours just to survive. That's a very unpleasant bottom line. It's difficult. We have a lot of compassion for people who are there. A lot of people on the planet are there. All right, but think about, where is your bottom line? It's, you haven't had your actual living circumstances threatened. Maybe not recently. Maybe you've had some hardship getting stuff. Maybe you've had to overcharge on your cards. But overall, you're not on the streets. You're not wondering where your next meal is coming from or that you're going to have a place to live. If it is there, you're playing dangerously low. So think about it. One way or another, you've survived to today, regardless of your financial incompetence or crashes or destructive things that have happened to you, that have hurt you, that have created loss for you, that have restricted your access to money and resources. But you're still here, and you're listening to us. So now, we just ask you for a moment now, just to reflect on your past. Go back to the time in your past where you were lowest in money. The hardest financial periods of your life. Notice where you are now in relationship to that. Are you a little bit above? A lot above? That place where you were, those places where you were challenged, your bottom line was challenged. Those bottom lines, have you lifted them? You made it through. You somehow survived. You got out of it. You moved on. It was a temporary pit. So just recognize that your reality has not let you go beneath that. Trust it. You've made it here. No matter how desperate the situations, somehow or another, a pathway opens up. Like they say, if one door closes, another one opens. You made it. And you want more. You want to take that bottom line. You want to lift it. You've lifted it from there. Why? How? First of all, you have allowed yourself to be less dramatic. You don't start the day worrying as much as you would in those days. It's a little bit more existential, a little bit more mental. But just have some gratitude right now that you made it through there. You made it through those tough spots. You're here. Now, what happened is that your spiritual team, they cannot intervene in your life, but they will support you regardless of what stupid behavior you might do. And you know, when you're young or when you're ignorant or foolish, you make foolish choices and stuff, but you're still supported. In fact, if you make a really foolish choice, your higher self and your other members of the team will get together and say, okay, so what shall we do now? And how shall we shift this? Can we get this person back on track? You're not aware of all of that, but you've been supported from the get-go. You've been supported all your life. Get that. Feel it. Own it. You're not going to lose your bottom line. It's not going to be devastating. You're going to have support. You're more conscious now. You're going to get more support now. Trust. You can rely on this. Your team's got your back. You didn't come to spend all your life struggling just to survive. You've had lifetimes like that. That's not this one. These are homegoing lifetimes. Lifetimes where your vision is to move beyond physical, beyond even the astral, causal, mental, to your vision moving back home to God, Goddess, all that is. You're on your way back. You're on your way up. Rely on it. Your reality has your back. Your team has your back. And if you can understand this, you can also see that the egregor has your back. The whole collective created for you is constructed so that you survive okay. It's all friendly. It's all supporting you. Don't judge it. Just expand, go for the magic, interact with your reality, and relax about the time thing, and allow the magic. So, if you can trust, and trust without arrogance, this is not an ego thing. Because people who trust with ego say, well, I can just do any stupid thing, and they will pick me up. Don't go do that. That's not very respectful of yourself. We know that you don't do that. We're just saying that because there are some people who do. And for you to recognize you don't go there, yay! You can even trust more in a more humble way. And also, your team is there supporting you. Don't try to monitor them. Don't try to push them. Don't try to control them. Because if you try to control your team, if you try to always antsy, are you with me? Are you with? Well, if you're not trusting, this creates time scarcity and financial scarcity. You need to build up a sense of trust. builds your resonance. This is one of the ways your resonance can build. Now, another thing that sabotages your resonance is negative mind talk. It's your choice to think the same old limiting thoughts over and over and over again. And your brain is lazy. You don't want to, just like you don't want to keep imagining and work on imagining things that if you've never seen or experienced before, it's hard to do. But at the same time, your negative mind talk is continuously reinforces your old narrative that this is the way it is for you. This is the way the world works for you. This is the limitations that you have to live with. This is the way it always happens for you, etc., etc. And you can just keep your vibration low by let every time you fall prey to it and believe it to be true. Oh yeah, this is what always happens. I'm the one who always gets the fly in the soup. I'm the one who always, I think I get something really wonderful, but there's a big flaw in it that just makes it fall apart and it's not wonderful. I always lose. I can't ever hold a relationship. I can't ever hold a job. I can't blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, mind talk is so critical because if you want to get your resonance up, this is the place you do have to work and you have to put in the work here. You have to be able to identify your fears of success, your fears of failure. You have to identify when you are in victim consciousness or martyr consciousness, when you're in anger and judgments, wanting to control, when you're in your ego or negative ego, when you're experiencing shame and you're working out of shame and pain, when you're seeing yourself worthless, when you're projecting negative scenarios onto your life, etc., etc. You have to pay attention to this stuff. It's not real. It feels real because you've done it so many times. It's familiar. This seems solid. It seems reliable. This is the way it always is. No, it's not real. You have reinforced it. You have programmed yourself. Okay? So when you want to manifest and materialize, when you go to engage with other people, giving and receiving, when you allow yourself to be seen and heard, you have to have a self-image that works for you. If you have negative mind talk, you can sabotage yourself before you get out the door, before you pick up that phone to call, before you take any action. You can sabotage yourself. So what we suggest you do is to program your brain for success. Anytime that you see, anytime you pay, by paying attention, of course, you're perceiving yourself to fall into fear, falling into judgments, falling into your old narrative, your old sad, sad story, or into worry, and so on. Red flag gate. Wake up. You're repeating a bad program. Say stop. Who's saying stop is the person who realizes it's a bad program. As soon as you realize it's a bad program, you're not in the bad program. You see, as soon as you, if you believe the bad program, just keep doing it and keep doing it, you're in the soup. But as soon as you say stop, you pop out of the soup. Now you're looking at it. You're separate from it. Now you can take your power back from that. Now you can think something different. Now you can choose something different. This takes work. It takes attention. It takes being present. This is perhaps the biggest work you can do. When you're working on your mind talk, you're not only working on your own life and manifesting your own life, you are making a change in the whole collective, the whole consensus. When you lift out of negative mind talk, you are gifting light and love into the collective, the egregor will recognize that. All right? Now, some of you repetitively do positive meditations. You do your meditation in the morning, or you do it at night, or whenever it is. And these meditations will either calm you and get you focused and in peace, or the meditations are for you to imagine and visualize something wonderful for yourself. But whatever you do, do go over whatever it is that you want to have happen mentally. You know, they found that an experiment where they separated athletes, or I think it was actually the one that we were thinking of is with piano playing. And they taught some people to play the piano and had them practice and practice and practice. They're da 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 da, etc., etc. And they did all their little practices and so on and so on. And then they had another group. They taught them about the piano, but they didn't touch the piano. And they had them practice in their imagination. And at the end of the experiment, they checked and see how what difference that it could be. And the people who had envisioned it were able to play without practicing physically, able to play almost at the same level as those who actually practiced physically. It was astounding. So they've used it also with athletes, like tennis players, for example, and golf players who can get their swing perfectly in their mind and their imagination and hit that ball and direct it and feel how whole body works with it and get that rhythm and get it all going. And by golly, it seems to make a huge difference. There are football teams that will have mental trainings. So what you train your brain to do, well, make that be the go-to experience. If you train your brain to visualize yourself living a life of prosperity, doing something that you like. Now, we want to emphasize the doing part, because the doing part is the engagement with the reality. The being part is who you are that is doing the engaging. You've got to have both. There are a lot of people that like to just meditate and have the money come in. No, you have to have a channel open, and you have to do some kind of giving and receiving, an interaction. You have something you have to do before the physical plane says, oh, you exist. Okay, here. So you have to program your brain for success. Now, when you have negative thoughts and feelings, you need to stop them, and you need to stop and get back into positive states. There's this one woman who pioneers this whole healing system called using frequency-specific microcurrent, or FSM. And she's developed this whole thing, which is almost like miraculous healings with people using microcurrents or milligauss or tiny hertzes, you know, whatever, going through their bodies in various positions and with various usages. But she found that the people who had positive states, and she even found ways to get people into positive states to sustain that, enabled them to heal so much faster, even though what she was doing is already seeming miraculous. But she said the biggest problem was that she would have these people who had fibromyalgia, and in a couple of sessions, the fibromyalgia would be gone. There'd be no pain, nothing. And the people would go, well, who am I? I've been in pain for 6 years. I don't know who else I am. And they would go back to expecting the pain, recreating the pain. She says that's quite the dilemma. But what she found is that if you got yourself in a very high state, of happiness, then you could find who you are and move on with your life and not go back into the pain, not call the illness back in. All right? So she put together a list of positive words, ordered alphabetically. There's probably maybe about 100 of them. Things like ebullient, passionate, joyous, bubbly, you know, just fun words, nice, pleasant association words. And she says, just read them every day. You can do that. Again, it takes discipline to say, okay, I'm going to sit down and for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to read positive words. Think about that. Your ego is going to say, no, no, we like you being the negative person you were. We feed on your anger and your sadness and your shame and your despair. No, 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 no. We want you to achieve with some kind of magnificent manipulation, and then we can take credit for it. Yeah, yeah, that's what we want. You're so underappreciated. You know, and of course you're feeling unappreciated. Oh, that's not a good feeling. Okay? And they ego sucks on it. So whenever you find yourself in negative states, put together a list of positive words and go read it. Or stand in yourself energetically, in your mind. Do a little meditation. Pull the energy of the earth up through you. Pull the energy of the divine down through you. And then get into positive expectation. Feel gratitude. Feel what success would feel like. Trust. Remind yourself you're being taken care of. It's okay. Feel your power as a conscious light being. Make a choice. Feel love. Get into positive states. Sometimes you do have to process all this negative stuff. And there are people who make a living on taking people endlessly back into their past to redo and re-clean and clean out. And while that is wonderful material and wonderful work, it needs to be done. It can go too long. You need to give a place to where your psyche can go to. So you need to get this and get your energy back up. Repeat this, repeat this, repeat the gratitude, repeat the love, repeat it. Keep repeating it. And then when fear and survival stuff, crazy stuff start showing up, stop. Stop. Break the energy. Break the negative energy. Step back into your choice. Step back into your power. And that's what you can do to keep, over time, while you're engaging with the collective, keep yourself in your vibration. Now, there's connecting. Connecting with the egregor, connecting with your world. Now, in the connection, you want to give and receive. Every time you give, there will be a receiving. Like what we had you do with the channels, you put energy out, and then energy would come back through your channels. You put energy out in the channels, it comes back in the channels. You put energy out, it comes back. You're connecting with your world. Now, if you can do something physical to anchor that in, that can be really helpful. Because this giving and receiving creates a movement. It creates energy. It's like waves. It's pulses. It creates electromagnetic energy of shifts and changes, lifts the energy, moves the energy. This is how you kind of massage the magic. It takes some giving on your part. Not martyring, not sacrificing, not draining yourself for some other people or purpose or work or whatever. but a giving. Giving of your heart space, giving of your light, giving, visualizing for yourself to be successful, but also visualizing that other people are successful. Visualizing the world to wake up, to be successful. Can you receive? Is it safe for you to receive? Do you accept whatever is given you without question? Can you ask other people for things? How do you feel asking other people for things? And when other people actually give you something, do you feel comfortable receiving it? Do you feel that, this person is giving to me, I should be giving something in return to them? Maybe they just want to give something to you. Can you just accept that somebody's giving something to you without expecting that you do some kind of dance about it to balance it out, to actually earn it? You see, you don't want to earn. Earning doesn't bring prosperity and happiness. And most people think that they don't deserve to be given anything of value. So when they're given something of value, they rush to deserve it. They earn it. Let me give this to you. Oh, that person gave me a present. It's a silly little present. I don't really like it, but my gosh, now I've got to give them a present. Now I've got to figure out what to give them. No. Receive. When you want to give, give. But don't do this balance thing because you feel you should. Don't do it as a duty. Don't do it as an obligation. Don't do it as a pressure. Don't do it as an earning. Receive and say thank you. Feel the gratitude. And if somebody gives you something that doesn't mess your life up, is not something that you want or particularly, appreciate the spirit behind it. Appreciate they want to give something to you. And thank you. Thank you. I'll never use this thing, but I really appreciate the thoughts and the love behind it. You're so dear. Thank you. Receiving is tricky because everybody's been told they should earn. Then when they earn, then they deserve, and then they're entitled. And you've got to get out of earning, deserving because you're earning, and being entitled. Eliminate that. Okay? Now, the way you do that, elimination, of course, is just as we talked before, is getting your mindset correct, and working your brain, and going into gratitude. Going into gratitude and honoring your value, loving yourself, loving others, and getting into a high resonant state. Because when you get into a high resonant state, it's not about, even if you know that person is giving you something, wanting you to give something back to them, you're under no obligation to give something back to them. Even if you suspect it. Unless they say. Now, if they say, I'm giving you this, and then I want you to give me that, if they actually say it, it is a contract. And if you receive it, then you are also thereby agreeing to give them what it is they want. That's essentially what buying something is. You give somebody money, and they give you the product that you want. But energetically, it doesn't work quite like that. Unless it's made conscious. If it's not made conscious, then do not consider you under obligation that you have to hop to and do some great things for this other person. Be grateful, though. Be appreciative. Be thankful. And it ends there. Because, see, if you feel that you have to reply with duty obligation, you're not going to allow yourself to receive. You're not even going to want to get out in the world at all. You don't even want to risk having people give you stuff that's putting more pressure and more burden on you to do more work, to earn and receive more, to get more. And to get stuff maybe you don't even want. So let all that dark matrix around receiving go. Just imagine it right now. It's like a dark ball of energy. Ooh. Just feel how yucky it is. It's probably in front of your solar plexus. Just imagine it. As you know, if you've ever taken a Qigong class, you get into doing the Qi ball, you know, and you feel the ball of Qi. Well, this time, feel the ball of ennui. Feel the ball of yuck, of demand, of pressure. Pressure to give. Pressure for you to give. Now, good girl training for women is that you're all about giving and you don't receive. You don't deserve to receive. The man code, you're all about, you find someone to support you and give to you so that you can go out and do great things in the world. So you can give and give and give to a man who's embedded in the man code and he will never give back to you. Or he didn't feel obligated whatsoever. So, women especially, you need to let go of your good girl training and recognize you are worth being able to receive. You deserve to receive. You didn't earn it, but you're a divine being. You're a beautiful, lovely, light being. You deserve to receive something good. God, goddess, all that is, wants to give you everything. So why are you holding it back? Oh no, I've got to earn it. Stop that. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All right. So claim the identity of someone who can receive with ease. What would it feel like if you could just receive and it was so easy? So totally easy. Put that into your self-image. Put that into your hopper. Imagine you receiving. And also, imagine you giving. Imagine you giving without draining you, without tiring yourself out, without stressing, without pushing. What would it be like to just give and there would just be plenty of energy? That there's always more and more energy. You give and then there's just more and more energy comes. You see, when you give, you are taking energy out of your energy field and moving it to someone. Most people do that out of duty obligation or feel that they should, or they want to do that so that the person will like them or appreciate them or look up to them or whatever. And so they're not receiving themselves. They're just giving because they want to, they're earning. Okay? Now, if you give love and you give love freely and without feeling that it's your job to do it or that you need to please this person to do it, if you were just to give freely, absolutely freely, then what happens is that if you're open to receiving, then as you give that energy out of your energy field, this energy of the divine comes rushing in to replace it. Comes rushing in from the earth to replace it. Comes rushing in from the heavens to replace it. And it comes in and fills you up with the light. And so that's why some people who are going out there and doing missions where they help people and so on, they get so much out of giving. It's so exciting and so exhilarating to give because they're not expecting those people they're giving to give back to them. They're giving and they're receiving directly a reinfusion of energy from the divine. They're charged up by giving. So, think about this as you interact with your world. Keep giving without expecting to receive anything in particular. Just give and then allow yourself to receive from the divine. If you can do this, you can very safely We say safely in terms of a vibrational energy, not physical. But you can very safely, from a psychological, energetical place, go out and interact with the world, no matter how negative people may be, or how mean or manipulative or crazy. You're not going to be in a place where the crazy gunman comes and shoots people. Your resonance won't match. You're safe. You're actually physically protected. And you're protected from the negativity, because you're not giving, expecting to receive from them something. If you want approval from somebody, you can get stuck. You'll get exhausted. You'll never get approval from them. Why? Because you're not receiving. You're earning. So this is an important distinction when you're dealing in your life with your reality, with your collective. You've got to be aware of that. Even when you have been poor, have you been able to be generous with other people, or did you kind of hold on to every dollar that you could? There are people who are poor and just on the verge of broke all the time, and the most generous, loving people. And you wonder, how in the world do they do that? Because somehow or another, they trust the bottom line. They know they're never going to go down beneath a certain level, and they know that the universe will replenish whatever they give. Now, they may have other issues if they're on their bottom line all the time. But this particular thing, there is a trust for that bottom line. And you need to have trust for whatever your bottom line is right now, so that it never goes lower. It will stay where it is. Then you can give, then you can receive, you can give, you can receive, you can give money, and somehow or another you'll get money back. It won't come from them, maybe. It'll come from some other surprise circumstance or opportunity that could open up for you. But can you believe that the world supports you? Can you allow yourself to lean on a loving and safe reality for you? Yes, you can, when you know how to hold the light and when you know how to receive. Okay. Now, the most important part of working with a collective is doing the dance. Doing the dance is engaging with the world. It's giving, showing up, being seen, making commitments, taking action, moving things along in a very physical way, talking to people, interacting with people, setting things up, doing things, going places. The communication with people through phones, through social media, through if you do sales or marketing, be an adult. As spiritual people, it's a temptation to keep detaching from the world. Don't. Be an adult. Be a spiritual adult. Be a mature person. Don't attach to the world. Belong to the world. No, you're not of the world, but you belong here right now. You have to work with the collective. This is the soup you are creating for yourself. Your team and you put together a reality with a culture and a environment for you to work in. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you feel that it's supportive and loving, you can enjoy it. You will enjoy the people you talk to wherever you find them. Just strike up a conversation, smile at people, just connect. Give love and compassion to the world. Even just think about giving love and compassion. And you do that, you give love and compassion. You understand suffering. You know what people are suffering. Don't take on their suffering. Don't worry for them. Don't despair. Oh my gosh, there's so much suffering. Oh, people are so mean. They're so cruel. It's so awful. Don't, you know, spend maybe a second there, and then you go to, oh my, this is the world needs so much more love. Here you go. Here's some love. Here's some more compassion. I love you. I have compassion for you. When you give love and compassion to your world, you're higher. You're bigger. Right? See other people get successful. A rising tide lifts all ships. And that can even be for your competitors. If you see them getting more successful, then okay. If they're more successful, you'll be more successful. It's not an either or. You know, there's no competition. What you bring to you is completely designed and codified for you. Who goes to them, goes to them. This is a hard one for most people because in the money world, competition is a huge, huge issue. The whole man code is about competing to get to the top. Doesn't matter who you step on, what you do, how you manipulate, what you say. You can lie and cheat and steal, but if you get to the top, you've won. You're a winner. It's the dark masculine energy. So it's been twisted and distorted. But what about you? If you recognize, look, this universe is supporting me, loving me, I trust that it's going to work for me, and it's created just for me. I'm in a unique world for me. This is my reality. Why do you even get upset with competition? You fear it's going to take from you? Fear of loss? Take this to your team. Stop competing. That doesn't mean that you go and, okay, why don't you go over and see that person instead of me? No, you're not marketing for them. You're marketing for you. But it has nothing to do with competition. It's about you and your reality, and your reality will support you. Don't worry about what other people are doing in your field. You do what you can do with as much integrity and love and light as you can. You know what boundaries not to cross. You already know what in your industry what not to do. So you're an adult. You can do it. You can receive. You don't have to compete. You don't have to stress yourself out about and envy or resent anybody else's success. You be successful your own way, your own unique way. And then time. Now, when you're doing running a manifestation program, you're saying, this is what I want, and, da, 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 and you do all the work, and you do put all the pieces together and get the steps going and get the things going. Then you start looking to your reality. Now, generally, when you get your manifestation program going, when you feel, okay, I got it, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, where I'm heading, and what I want, and okay, and I'm choosing this, and I'm asking the team for it, I'm working on that, and getting my energy up, and engaging about it, and so on and so on. You start looking out there in the world, okay, where is it? And generally, when you get it going at the very beginning, you'll get some kind of response, a trigger of response, a little beautiful little sparkle of response, some whisper, some kind of little message. Okay, your request has been acknowledged. Your team is now working on it. Then you just going through the steps, just interacting with the collective, keeping your image expanded, being the expanded image self when you're working with a collective, not letting other people shrink you by judgment into back into a child or space or an adolescent space, letting yourself stay an adult, a light being, a beautiful resonant light being in everything that you do as you interact. Okay, things are going. But now we have the time thing. So you look around, where is it? Where is it coming? Magic doesn't show. It just, things will pop in. There's no logic. There's no sequence. There's no linearity with magic. So you don't know when it's going to pop in. But if you keep looking out there and the time, there's a time gap between the time you put your request in and the time it manifests. That's why we said, why you have time, so that you can tweak stuff in the gap. You want to mind the gap, right? Now, if you're thinking that it's going to come and you put a time deadline on it, you're trying to control a little bit. Now, we understand that you may say, oh, if I can do this in 2 months, then. Oh, we understand that. You can say, let's try for 2 months. Let's see if we can do it in 2 months. But don't hold your team and say, you've got to do it in 2 months or else I'm screwed. Don't put so much weight and significance on this money. It'll blow. It'll blow the magic. You'll be in scarcity, okay? So when you do the dance and stay connected to the world, you are able to get the feedback that you need as to whether you're doing it well or not. But as we said before, what you see out there is not the real indication of your success. You may have more happy interactions with people. There may be bubblings of potentials and more opportunity and so on. That's a sign that it's coming. But if you're not getting money yet, and you think, oh, I'm not getting the money through my channel the way I want it, maybe I'm never going to get the money because it's not now, I'm doing my best to keep my energy up and so on. Sometimes when you push, you have to push yourself, you have to force yourself to get the energy back up, and then with you get discouraged, and then whoop, you shrink all the way down again. And then you got to, okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to build my energy up. All righty. I'm a divine being having a physical experience. Yeah. Okay. See the light. Yeah. Feel the love. Okay. Feel. Okay. If it's hard, it means you're trying to earn. You're trying to manipulate. You're in time scarcity. It's not going to work. In fact, what works even more successful is you could say, oh, look, I'm not getting any money here. That's interesting. Am I feeling good, though? Yeah. Am I feeling inadequate? Yeah. I'm feeling somehow or another I'm not doing enough. Okay, that's a slave driver. We've talked about the slave driver numerous times. It's a fake motivation. The slave driver says you've got to be a good little spiritual person. You got to do your meditations. Now, do you want to do them? Sometimes. If you don't want to do them, the slave driver is going to come and say you should do it. And if you don't do it, bad things can happen. And then you'll, oh, okay, I'll go do it. Or maybe, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I want to run away. I want to go into fantasy. You have to stay on top of this stuff because there's so many ways that your mind talk, that the collective, that what you see in the media, the feedback you get, you can project and judge on it and make up assumptions about it and then go right back to your old narrative and you've shrunk down into a child mode or now you're your 18-year-old self. And how conscious were you when you were 18? That was years ago. For some of you, many decades even. So you've grown a lot since then. Don't let yourself shrink back to a self that goes in a little box and hides. Because every time you shrink back into that little small self, You're not visible. The egregor will not see you. It will not acknowledge you. It'll wait until you come out of your box. So anytime you judge yourself, you go into the box. Shut the door. You're invisible. Interacting with your world, you need to be seen. You need to allow yourself to be seen. You need to engage with it. You need to interact with it. And as you interact with it, you need to hold your resonance up. But the timing thing gets a lot of people because they don't know how to deal with non-linear time. People want to see themselves on a trajectory. Here I am. Here's where I want to be. Away up there. Okay, we're going to go here. No, it never goes that way. When you're healing from an illness, you never go that way. When you're making money, it never goes that way. When you're manifesting a relationship, it never goes that way. Ever. It goes like this. Up a little bit, then maybe down a little bit. Up in another wave, maybe down, way down here, then way up there. Then it's organic. It depends on how you hold your resonance and how you relate to time. If you can trust, it will come to you in the right time. Don't worry about it. And so we often have to tell our dear ones who speak with us in private about this, don't worry. All is going according to plan, your divine plan. It's all going according to plan. It's all right. And it will turn out fine. It will all turn out fine. Just remember that. You're thinking, oh, no, it's not going according to plan. Yeah, it is, but you just don't know what the plan is. It's okay. You don't have to know what the plan is yet. You're the one who is learning how to be the spiritual person in the world, how to create prosperity and manifest in the world. So as we're saying, an outer manifestation or not doesn't really tell you. You're going to get some feedback, but the feedback may actually be emotional. If it's an emotional state, if there's an excitement, enthusiasm, an opportunity, that means you're still on track. But if you then get sidetracked, oh, okay, nothing's manifesting over here, but wow, this opportunity, oh, this is beautiful, bubbling up. Oh, the possibilities over here, these are great over here. You could just get off your track and go over there. Now you have to start all over again. Stay on track. Stay, you know, focus on this. You stay on your track. Now, there may be an opportunity that is better than what you're doing. So maybe you might want to just go and talk about it. But be careful, because sometimes these are sent to you as a test. They're sent to you by your ego. They're gambling fever. If you're on track for something that you really are aligned with, truthfully, and something sparkly shows up over here, it could very well be gambling fever. And if you tend to fall for gambling fever over and over and over again and get all excited and go rushing into something, yes, 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 and then having it not, you know, sludge out and not move forward, and then here's something else exciting. Oh, yes, and you go over there. If you're one of those people, you should remember that, be aware, this is the old narrative. Or maybe this is my ego. Let me just continue on the track that I am. And instead of, maybe you don't feel passionate about it at times, but if you can have like low-burning embers, that yes, this still feels true, this still feels right, because it's in alignment with my heart space, with my truth. Now, if that sparkly thing is something else, that, but that's more in your smart space, and you go back, well, this really wasn't. I was just doing it for the money. Oh my gosh. Well, let me check that out then. And if you can do it without gambling fever, and it is indeed something more valuable, then you can make that decision. But you see, you can't do that until you know how to take your feedback and utilize your feedback. Your state of being is what's more real. It's more real than the money. Money is just symptomology. And money will come, especially if you already have, this channel is already opening for you. Money's going to come. More money's going to come. Okay? Even if money is flowing in, don't stop expanding your self-image. Don't stop changing your frequencies up and upgrading them into more. And don't stop giving love and compassion to the world. Don't stop. Don't stop, because if you stop, then your image doesn't keep growing. The reality cannot keep growing. At some point, your reality will be substantially consistent in light. And then your physical reality will come up to that and be able to hold that. Okay. Now, we want to talk about the test. Everybody gets a test. Every time that you grow, every time that you move forward, every time you make positive changes, things are moving, you're on your track. You're getting, magic is flowing. There'll come a point where you'll get far enough along that maybe your reality, your magic just starts to outpace your image. Or you're in new territory, you don't know how to identify there yet. Your image is good, but you're not oriented because it's new. You're in the unknown. Either way, you get what we call the test. Now, it's not really a test. We always say this. But that's a way you can remember it. There's always a test. Nobody's testing you. What's happening, though, is that your subconscious mind that wants everything consistent, that's the one that keeps giving you your old narrative. And your ego, which likes you to stay small and in the box where you're, quote-unquote, safe, okay, they will get in cahoots with each other, and they will complain. They'll say, hey, you know, what you've been doing is really unusual. It's not what you normally do. You're not acting like you normally do. And the old patterns that you were doing, you're not doing them. Something's not right. Our job is to make sure you're consistent. And you're being very inconsistent. So what we have to do is we have to pull you back over to your old problem pattern that you've always done in the past. And here's your opportunity. Are you sure you want to keep doing this strange thing that you're doing? Or don't you want to go back to the old familiar way? And so they will give you, and this will manifest physically, okay, in your reality, circumstances in your reality. Okay, will manifest physically that will be that your reaction to it could mean shrinking back into the person that you were and responding and running back to the old pattern and being the old person and running back into your box. Feeling discouraged. Feel like, oh, it's not working, I failed, oh, look at this, oh no, this is such a problem. Now, so many people sabotage all their dreams at the first test. But if you pass the test, There'll be more tests, but they won't be as hard as the first one or two. You get two or three tests. And you have to tweak your reality up as you go, and for a few times you'd have to stay very conscious about this and be able to identify when the test happens, because you get feelings, emotional feelings, generally fear or anger or hurt or something, whatever is your trigger that makes you start running and scurrying back into the box. Makes you feel insecure. Oh my gosh, it's not working. Oh Lord, it's not working. So don't respond knee-jerk to it, but you have to identify it. Like we said before, when you have negative stuff, they stop. When the test shows up, it feels so real because it's showing up in the physical. For example, if you always have trouble with relationships, and the relationships, you just can't keep a relationship past 6 months, or let's say, and there's always this argument, and then it's always the same thing, and you feel very pressured and abandoned upon, and you feel very scared, and the person gets really negative and expects too much of you, and blah, 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 and it always tends to fall apart. And in the part in the process of that, they go run off with somebody else. Ah, devastating. And you go through one, two. By the time you go through three, you know, uh-oh, I have a pattern. I really don't know how to choose these people. And it's not about that. You're choosing people who will give you the test. When you start passing the test, interestingly enough, you break the old pattern and then you find the people you can stay with. But if that third time, okay, here it comes. This is the old pattern. I always did this before. Oh my, this is the test. If you can get that it's a test, most people forget. It seems so familiar. It's lulling you into the same old familiar patterns. They're so familiar, they feel so real. The hardest part about the test, what the test really is to be able to identify it. But if you can identify it, you can stop it. In fact, we had one dear one who was running a business, and it was a startup, and he was really going at it. And he had a tendency that the employees or partners or whatever would flake out on him and whatever. And so it started looking like that. They started saying stuff that said, oh no, this partner's starting to flake out on me again. And so he had a session with us, and we were talking with him, and we pointed out, okay, what you're seeing is the whisper of an oncoming problem. That could be a really big problem. It could sabotage the whole business. That was the message. And this is what you've done before. You're going to do it again. Here's the opportunity to do it again. Or are you going to find another way to do it? Because you're doing stuff in a new way. We pointed this out to him. He changed his strategy and the way he related to this person, and found out that the problem dissolved. It just dissipated. It didn't become a problem at all. And we have found in these circumstances that the vast majority of the time, that if you catch it at the message before you make it real and before you shrink back into the smaller you, if you catch it right at the beginning, you can turn it right around. And it will dissolve. No problem. You keep moving forward, and you become brighter and lighter and more successful. So here's seven steps. We just love lists. We keep giving the channel all this data and so on. She has to write up all the lists. Here's the list. First is identify it. The fear will tell you about it. The feelings of the old familiar will tell you, this is the old way you've lost in the past. This is the old way You've lost it. You've shrunk. You've been small. You've suffered in the past. The powerlessness, the mind talk, the circumstances, all going to have similarities. It's going to be so, so familiar, right? But you have to identify it. Identify it. The second thing to do is stop. Like we said, stop. Say it vehemently in your mind or say it out loud. No, it's a test. This is a test. Three, acknowledge you're in your power and your choice. You can do something different. You don't have to fall for the test. You don't have to be victim of the test. You can do something different. You were doing something different. You can do something about this. You can take your power. You're in choice. Three, immediately expand your self-image. Do image expansion. Become an adult, free of the ego. And in your light, as you build yourself to a 20-foot tall light being, radiant, powerful, sending love and compassion to the world. Just radiate it out. Just send love out. Receive love. Send and give and receive. Give and receive. Give and receive. And as you do that, number four, you say, no way, that's number five. You say, it's all going according to plan. And it's all going to turn out well. Number six, call in the egregor, money, personified money. Call in your future self. Call in your guides. In your radiance, in your light now. Receive them. Feel them. Feel the support. Feel their trust. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. The next, number seven, see and be your future self. Step into your future self, the luminous one who's beyond all of this issue, who is free beyond the pattern, in the new pattern, in the new expanded prosperity program, into the new reality, in the new world self. And there actually is another one. Just keep shining your light. Keep expanding. Keep radiating. Okay. When you do that repeatedly, you will initiate a momentum. Because the momentum is cycles. You know, like the old locomotive, that first it'd be like, getting the wheels to turn. And then with more effort, then it was, and there would be a momentum. Then it would pick up. And then it could go smoothly, quickly, fast, elegantly, less energy to produce greater effect. You want that. You want elegance. All right. So doing this repeatedly, responding to the test, the tests will come, small tests, big tests, but just identify them. Even if it's just having a fear thought or a negative thought, go through this again. Maybe even do it proactively every day. If you keep doing that, it starts moving those wheels. The giving and the receiving starts moving the wheels. Being who you are, engaging with your reality, moving the wheels faster, 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 faster. And you get into a momentum. Now, when you get into a momentum like this, it raises your bottom line. The support, you feel the support, a greater level of support. You feel greater level of support. It's like if you're just barely getting your rent or mortgage payment done, like a channel and Daniel had for quite a while. It was just a struggle every month to get that money into the bank to get to pay the mortgage. Just a big struggle. But it would always get paid somehow or another. That was their bottom line. It would always get paid. And when they finally started to trust, they started to get more money. Okay? And so their bottom line kept coming up, 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 up. Okay? Now, one of the ways that you have a test, you can have a test with something positive too. For example, if your bottom line is just to cover your expenses, and then all of a sudden you get a big influx of money. This is the reality is bigger than your self-image. If you don't expand your image way out there and say, yes, this is mine, I deserve, and I receive, and I celebrate, and I'm a divine light being. If you don't really get into it, what's going to happen is something's going to happen that's going to drain that money right back out, so you're right back where you were. We had a friend who was working really hard. Yeah, making the ends meet. And then she got a big surge of stuff. Now, she'd been wanting, trying to save penny by penny, because she had a little pond in her backyard and she wanted to build a little bridge over the pond. She had the surge of money came in. Whoa! Fantastic! She didn't expand her image. So guess what happened? She had to have emergency dental work. And it took all that money away. And guess what the dental work was? It was a bridge. There's some kind of really strange humor in the reality, you know? She's been wanting this bridge. Well, she got this money, but her image wasn't big enough for the bridge in her backyard. But it was big enough for her to have dental surgery. And she lost all that money. So it went into her mouth. Into that bridge. She had to start all over again. If you let yourself shrink, you have to start all over again. If you don't connect with your reality, then there's no money can't find its way to you. There's a gap. You're detached. Your ego is looking down on the world. It's not going to find, prosperity's not going to find its way to you. And if you're freaked out about time, and you have time pressure on you, and you still have a slave driver motivating you through fear or guilt or whatever, then your manifestations will have a really hard time materializing. You can get drama, up and downs. But what you really want is to get the prosperity happening, to get the money coming in, the celebration, the joy, and then building it into a momentum over time that expands. Now, what we've seen is, generally, if you can keep yourself moving forward, you will build a momentum in 6 months that will be there for decades. It'll build your bottom line up to a level that is very pleasant. And then you don't really worry about money anymore. You can just, okay, I want this. I want to do more work here. I want to get this kind of job. I want this. I'm ready to do this. The job comes in, the money comes in. It's like magic. You're aligned. It's there. But you got to get to that place. It takes a certain amount of work and effort, but it is so, so worth it. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. It's going to be 10 minutes. And when we come back, we will answer your questions on this topic. All right. So, for now, and we'll be back with you shortly, surrounding you with light and love. Farewell.